Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, the president of the Nevada State Education Association, Ruben Murillo, plus on the Power Pundit panel, Andy McKay, Victor Jakes, and Warren Hardy. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2017 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome back to the program Ruben Murillo. He is president of the Nevada State Education Association. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Well, thank you very much for the invitation.
Wanted to start out just asking you, what do you get as feedback of the general feeling in the classroom right now with all that's going on with immigration?
With immigration, our teachers and our support staff are very much interested in making sure that our children, whether they're immigrants or not, have a safe education, a safe place to learn, a safe place to study, and a place to feel comfortable and not threatened.
And do they feel threatened? Is that the feedback you're getting?
I believe after the election, a lot of students feel threatened, especially for those students who are born in the United States, you know, who are fearful of their parents being deported.
And what do you think about the idea from Senator Cancela of making Nevada a sanctuary state?
I believe that it's the right way to go. I know a lot of people may not agree to that, but if Nevada or any of the cities should decide that they want to become sanctuary cities, that's up to them to decide, not for the federal government to come in and say no, no, no.
Do you think there's going to be a moderation after a period of time? Because it already seems that the president has spoken in favor of DACA and the children.
Well, I think there's a lot of mixed messages that are coming out. Not sure what to believe or what to expect coming forth from the federal government. A lot of mixed messages are being sent or tweeted.
And to change topics here, the reorganization of the Clark County School District, what are your thoughts on that at this point in time?
Well, I really don't have much to do with the reorganization. That's more of a local matter. But any time that you can get the decision-making into the hands of the school community, the parents, and the students is a good move. When I was president of the Clark County Education Association, we came up with the empowerment schools, which really worked well. The heart and soul of an empowerment school was the school empowerment team, which helped to make decisions. Now, the challenge of having the decisions in the hands of parents are, and the community and teachers and support staff are the training, number one, but also the ability for those who are in charge, administrators, to feel comfortable to give up that decision-making power and to trust that the members of their community are making the right decisions.
Do you think competition within the district is a good thing?
I think competition is always good with whatever you do. For example, in the Clark County School District, they have a lot of options for school choice. They have open enrollment, which allows for students in schools that may want to go to other schools the opportunity to do so. For example, there may be students at Rancho High School who do make the decision to go to Palo Verde High School. And so those are there, along with our magnet schools, along with several other options.
Let's talk about ESAs for a moment. Your thoughts on ESAs?
Well, we want the investment in schools, not the divestiture of funds from schools. If you take a student and give them the money that's to go to a private school, let's say Gorman, which costs about an average of $13,000, or Faith Lutheran, which is about the same, it doesn't adequately pay for a student to go to that school completely. I'm a product of public schools and Catholic high schools, and I know when we decided to send, when my parents decided to send me to Catholic high school, there was the challenge to be able to, number one, fit in culturally, where I may not have been a part of that, but also, number two, financially. How do you get to support my activities? My parents sacrificed a lot. I played tennis, you know, and I was involved in a lot of extracurricular activities that required additional funds to go there, not to mention the uniforms that we had to pay for also.
So do you think that the ESAs are then inherently unfair?
I believe the ESAs, the vouchers, are really unfair to those students who are left behind, who can't take advantage of them. In our understanding and belief is that vouchers would tend to increase class sizes, reduce staff, less resources for those children who aren't able to make that change.
So you feel that because that really hasn't been discussed very much at this point in time.
Which part?
The last part you mentioned about increased class sizes.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely an increase on the school district if you take funds out of it. The monies to maintain the infrastructure, the monies to the funds to have the adequate amount of staff, qualified staff, and then just resources. Right now, teachers spend an average of $1,000 out of pocket to supplement the resources that they lack in a school. If we have a voucher program that takes children out of schools into private schools, and that's just going to be an even more burden on teachers, support staff, the school system to maintain public schools and provide a quality education for those students who are still in public schools.
You've urged citizens to write their assembly person or state senator, urging them to support AB 212, which would remove student test scores from teacher evaluations. You write in your urging, the only way this bill will pass is with the strength of our teachers sharing their personal classroom stories to expose the flaws of the current system. Why should teachers not be judged on the performance of their students?
We want to be judged by the performance of our students, but not a test score that takes a snapshot of where a student is. There are many different ways to evaluate a student that doesn't include test scores.
For example,
portfolios, you know, their SLGs or their student learning goals or growth goals. So there is a way to do so. In fact, the federal government under ESSA dropped the requirement that student test scores be part of a teacher's evaluation. It's only because the state is continuing to do so that it remains so. If you, we had a town hall meeting a couple of weeks ago. And we had a lot of teachers telling their stories about how student test scores impact them or how they don't impact what they do. For example, if you're a music teacher, your evaluation may be tied to the fourth or fifth grade classroom, and you have no control over that. We have a lot of control over what happens in the classroom, the student's learning environment. We don't have a lot of control when it comes to what happens in a student's private life. Do they come from an abused home? Do they come from a place where they don't have enough funds to provide breakfast to their family? Or are the families working extra schedules, midnight swing shift schedules, or that? We don't have control over that. We do have control what happens in the classroom. So we're not afraid of being evaluated. We just want to be evaluated in a fair manner.
All right, let's take a break. More with Ruben Murillo when we come back.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with the president of the Nevada State Education Association, Ruben Murillo. A bill to change the name of McCarran International Airport to Harry Reid International will be discussed later this week here at the legislature. Senator Reid was a friend to the teachers union and vice versa. Will your union support this name change?
We haven't even discussed it. We're very proud of the support that we've had from former Senator Harry Reid in terms of public education. So I'm sure we'll take a look at it, but at this time, that's not on our radar. We have more important fish to fry.
I apparently have put it on your radar, but absolutely, on the outskirts there. A Las Vegas Review-Journal analysis of teacher turnover data found that 16% of teachers who began in the Clark County School District in 2015-16 left within 1 year or less. That falls in the mid-range of the same data for 10 other school districts in the state, which had turnover rates ranging from 9.5% to 33.9% for that same year. Why are so many leaving the profession after putting in so little time?
Well, we're very concerned about that. It impacts the education that our students receive in Nevada, but this is a nationwide phenomenon too. Teachers are leaving the employment because for a variety of reasons. Number one, they don't get support from their administration at the school. A lack of professional development. The undue burden of teaching classes that have high classroom sizes, the variety of students that we have, behavior problems. We're just seeing that after 5 years, more than 50% of those teachers who are in the profession leave. So it's a retention problem. You can recruit them, but if you can retain them, that would help solve a lot of our issues with the lack of teachers in the classroom. So it's just for a variety of reasons that they're leaving. And you know what? We have stories of teachers who are just leave in the middle of a school year. They'll leave in October, a month afterwards, or they'll finally decide in January or February that this is not what they signed up for.
Is it a case of money or is it beyond that?
I think it's a combination of many things. Teachers want to work and earn a good salary for the work that they put in. I'll tell you that a lot of teachers put in many, many hours, more so than the 7-hour contract that may be out there, maybe more or less, but they put in way more hours than are required at home, at school. And so it's not just the money, but it's also the working conditions, being supported in the classroom for the decisions they're making, but not being burdened also by unfunded mandates that require them to add just another thing on their plate.
For example?
Well, for example, a lot of the legislation that comes out here may require that they add a topic of discussion, something they're required to teach. And during the course of the day, where do they fit that in? And they're expected to implement it and then to be evaluated on it.
How do you feel about the morale of teachers? Because it seems to me that we're constantly reading across the state people hammering on the school districts and the quality of education, but yet there are a lot of great kids that are being churned out by the system. There are a lot of great teachers in the system. I would have to think that it's got to be tough morale-wise to be a teacher in Nevada at this point in time.
Well, I think it's tough to be a teacher across the United States. Teachers feel the burden of making sure that their students are successful. But let's bring the topic of tests. There are, somebody told me that there's more than 20 hours of testing that are being done on average. But then in order to get a child to pass that test, you have to teach them how to fill in the bubbles. You have to do testing preparation. There's a lot that goes into it that takes away from instruction in the classroom. So when teachers are forced to do things that take them away from instructing their students, they get really frustrated. They may get depressed, and it's all because they have to perform well on that test score in order for them to that they're being told that in order to do a good job, we're going to evaluate you on the test scores.
Let me ask you this. As we're really in the first month or so of the session, what's the number one goal of NSEA in this session?
I think the number one goal is to make sure that our children have a good public education. They have the funds that are necessary to provide that public education. There's a lot of talk of a weighted funding formula and how that's going to look across the state. We recognize that there are certain populations that need additional funds, such as ELL students, special ed students, GATE, free and reduced lunch. But then also, you know, we want to make sure that there's no legislation that takes away from funding or programs for our students so that they can be successful.
And that's where we have to leave it for now. But please come back as the session progresses and we'll hear more.
All right. Thank you very much.
Always a pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2017 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel as always. Andrew McKay is here, Executive Director of the Nevada Franchise Auto Dealers Association. Victor Jakes is a columnist with the Las Vegas Review-Journal. And Warren Hardy is Principal with the Hardy Consulting Group. Victor, you've been providing daily commentary on the activities of the legislature, not just in print, but actually on video at the Las Vegas Review-Journal website. What do you think so far?
Well, I think it's the interesting tension is the Democrats really are pretty far left group. You look at all the business regulations, you look at a $15 an hour minimum wage, and then you've got the governor, and you saw last session he's certainly not a traditional Republican, and so I think that the most interesting tension is, you know, how far left do Democrats go, or do they try and come and meet Governor Sandoval in the middle? Because, you know, he's very much a moderate, and I think he would be happy to meet them in the middle. But, you know, from my perspective so far, I think they're too far left, and they're actually going to bring him to veto a lot of legislation that if they weren't so far to the left, they would make some progress on.
You know, it's interesting, Andy, for those of us who have been around a while, you know, Bill Raggio would have been considered a moderate as well. So this governor isn't really, you know, far out of field from tradition as far as the Republican Party goes, but not necessarily recent history, right?
Would Bill Raggio have been called a moderate? That's debatable. I think you have a wing of the Republican Party that views Bill Raggio as a moderate. I certainly don't view Bill Raggio as a moderate when you look in terms of his history and what he did there in terms of preventing collective bargaining for state employees. He was generally a pretty good defender for the free market and so on and so forth. But Victor's right. It certainly that building has shifted to the left this session, definitely as compared to last session.
And Warren is part of this because, you know, as we've talked about before in this program, we no longer have long tenure because of term limits. And so everybody's running for a different office. So therefore, every vote they make counts.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, Bill Raggio was a Reagan Kemp conservative, and that's sort of what I consider myself, which is now considered a moderate. I think President Reagan would probably roll over in his grave. But with regard to the left leaning legislature, I think it's important to note that most of these progressive left ideas are coming from freshmen. And it's not unusual, especially with this turnover, as you mentioned, Sam, for the leadership to sort of let the young guys come in and introduce whatever legislation they want, which in this particular session is very progressive, sort of far left stuff. But none of, for the most part, except for minimum wage and a couple of other things, none of the leadership are sponsoring those bills. So I think this is sort of, I don't think you can judge where this legislature will go in terms of philosophy for a couple of sessions.
Let's talk about what appears to be the elephant in the room for everybody in this country, which is the Paul Ryan plan to replace Obamacare. It looks like Nevada could have some serious problems in terms of Medicaid, especially.
Well, I mean, it's you know, when you give away free stuff, people like the free stuff, and then you find out that, oh, the free stuff is very costly, and the Obamacare system under its own weight is going to have significant financial struggles. It's going to cause significant financial struggles to Nevada if it's left in place. And so if you, you know, have any sort of financially responsible plan, you know, yes, there's going to be people who can no longer get free stuff, and they're going to protest vigorously. And then when you don't mandate people buy insurance, you know, it's no surprise that some people are going to choose not to buy insurance. So I don't think anyone should be surprised that, you know, fewer people are going to be covered than before, given those two conditions.
And that's one of the things that's interesting, is because there's no mandate to buy insurance, that's part of the reason that so many millions may not be covered, is by choice, correct?
Oh, absolutely. You know, they talk about, the CBO scored it, and the amount of uninsured that's going to go up. The majority of those people are those that aren't going to take insurance, as Victor pointed out. And he's absolutely right. The reality is when you continually give stuff for nothing, and then ultimately somebody's got to pay the piper. And, you know, we can debate, you know, the merits of the Paul Ryan plan, but it's a huge improvement versus the current Affordable Care Act, which, in my opinion, is not sustainable whatsoever.
Well, at $750 a month, personally speaking, I have to agree with you 100%, especially when people of my age are looking at perhaps 15 to 20% increases in that cost. But from a budget point of view, how does Nevada plan for something that may take place within a year, if not 2 years, for this biennium?
Well, it's really an argument for an annual legislative session, because you can't. And we have a difficult time across the board planning a budget. But with regard to, you know, the Obamacare thing, it talks about 20 million Americans that are insured. Well, I think 15 million of them are insured through Medicaid expansion. So it all depends how you define insured through a medical program or Medicaid program, or excuse me, medical plan, because those were all Medicaid expansion under Obamacare. That's still going to be there. So that's the question, and how all that'll shake out. And I think that the Republicans would do well to proceed slowly, cautiously, take their time, and get it right, because they don't want to mess it up.
Boy, I'll tell you, the negatives for Nevada seem to be huge in this, and I don't really see how you are able to plan for it. But annual sessions, Victor, give me the 10-second version of your thoughts on that.
Well, absolutely not. I mean, I know lobbyists love it because it means they're in session longer. And there's good reasons to support it, too. But I just think the problem is that anytime you get lawmakers in power, they want to do something. And most Nevadans just want to be left alone.
You get the last word, Andy.
I think it needs to happen. And you can do it within the 120-day constitutional confines as well.
And that's where we have to leave it, gentlemen. Thank you very much. We'll be right back.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group customer care team brings you effective risk management training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community.
Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
On our next broadcast, Assemblywoman Shannon Bilbray Axelrod from District 34. We'll see you then.